Blog Talk Radio. Decision Before Dawn, which depicted the Nazi soldiers who were captured and who were turned and went at the end of World War II, near the end, they went back into Germany to spy and send that information back to the Americans so that the war could be ended. A great film called Decision Before Dawn. Oscar Werner played a Nazi soldier. Among the events today, in 1775, this shows how far we've come, the Continental Congress excluded blacks from serving in the Continental Army during the Revolutionary War, showing again how far we've come. In 1910, Blanche Scott became the first woman to fly solo. It wasn't Amelia Earhart. And here's some more progress for women. In 1915, 25,000 women marched in New York to protest the denial of the vote for women. And in 1956, the Hungarian Revolt started in Budapest. Imre Nagy was the premier. And I remember as a child, we had the refugees from Hungary who came to work on our school's farm. I wonder where they are today. And Hungary today has become, again, some people think it's become a dictator-run country and a kind of neo-fascist. 1981, guess what the U.S. budget was? $1 trillion. Now, we've just concluded the SEIU, Service Employees International Strike against BART, the Bay Area Rapid Transit, but nobody knows, and the media doesn't report on who the background of the people in this strike and the union leaders like Josie Mooney. You can't find anything on the web really about her education, what her background is, only that she has 30 years experience, but what does that tell you? Also, we don't know much about the members of the BART board, which is an elected board. A lot of people don't know who these people are. And now the issue is there's a growing move in California, surprisingly, to ban strikes by transit unions. Now, it's happened in Chicago. It's happened in other cities. And some of the major politicians are hinting that the state legislature ought to pass a legislation banning strikes by public transit unions. Now, it's interesting that Calvin Coolidge was governor of Massachusetts, and there was a police strike, and he broke the strike, and he said his famous words that public employees have no right to strike against the public. And, of course, that led he became gave him national publicity, and he was put on the Republican ticket with Harding at the top. Coolidge was vice presidential candidate, and the Harding-Coolidge ticket won. And, of course, Harding died here in San Francisco at the Sheraton Hotel, and Vice President Coolidge became the President of the United States. It's also interesting that Coolidge was, his controversy about whether or not Chester Arthur, who was born in Vermont or in Quebec. But Chester Arthur, some historians think maybe he was born in Vermont. Certainly Calvin Coolidge was. And so some politicians like Lieutenant Governor Newsom, who was former mayor of San Francisco, is hinting that there ought to be legislations banning strikes by public employee transit unions. Well, maybe he's taken a leaf from Coolidge and seeing if that'll get him some national publicity other than gay marriage and some of these other things. Now, what's interesting is the media, it's really a shame that we have over 400,000 people were affected by this SEIU BART shutdown of the trains, yet we don't know, and the media doesn't report on the background of the people responsible for this shutdown. And, of course, some people think it's anarchy. We don't know Josie Mooney, who she really is, and Josie Mooney supposedly died in 1941. Now, the SEIU, we talked about this Monday, was formed in Chicago about in the 20s, and Al Capone had a hand in it, and also his financial genius, an accountant named Murray Humphreys, or Murray the Camel Humphreys. He was called the Camel because he liked camel coats. He was the non-Italian member of the Chicago Mafia. His family was originally from Wales in England. And I remember as a student, I had a girlfriend who lived in Marina Towers, and I accidentally encountered Humphrey before he died. He died very young, at 66. He didn't die of a bullet. I think he died of a heart attack. But if you want to get an idea of the Chicago Mafia and its connection to San Francisco and Marina Towers, which some people think was the leaning, Chicago's leaning pizza towers. See the opening credits of the movie Bullet, and we'll probably have a clip from our archives. So that's very interesting that also in 1969, Look magazine published an article on San Francisco's mayor, Joseph Alioto, now deceased, and the mafia. And, of course, Joe Alioto was mayor of San Francisco, sued Look magazine, and he won, although he never disproved the accusation that he was a member of the mafia. What political cognoscenti have concluded was that Joe Alioto was not a member of the mafia. However, he was a lawyer who was around at the time the mafia was meeting, and Joe Alioto allegedly, I say allegedly, was given a speech, and, of course, the mafia could have, we don't know for sure, if the FBI was taping those meetings, like in Appalachian in upstate New York, where the police and the FBI eventually busted the Eastern Mafia crowd. We don't know if Joe Alioto was in the area and acting as a consignore, a lawyer. But I can tell you this, in 1968, his name came up as a vice presidential candidate on the Mondale ticket, not the Mondale, the Muskie, Edmund Muskie was senator, and a lot of the cognoscenti at the same time raised questions whether or not Joe Alioto, even though because he was of Sicilian heritage, was he a member of the mafia? And that probably killed his chances at the nomination of the Democratic Party to become their vice presidential candidate. But it's quite interesting. Now I'm going to play a clip of Coolidge when he was he's not a very good speaker, kind of laconic, but when he was talking about the public employees' obligations to the taxpayers.
It is preeminently the province of government to protect the weak. The average citizen does not lead the life of independence that was his in former days under a less complex order of society. When a family tilled the soil and produced its own support, it was independent. It may be infinitely better off now, but it is evident it needs a protection which before was not required. Let Massachusetts continue to regard with the gravest solicitude the well-being of her people. By prescribed law, by authorized publicity, by informed public opinion, let her continue to strive to provide that all conditions under which her citizens live are worthy of the highest state of man. Healthful housing, wholesome food, sanitary working conditions, reasonable hours, a fair wage for a fair day's work, opportunity full and free, justice, speedy and impartial and at a cost within the reach of all, are among the objects not only to be sought, but made absolutely certain and secure. Government is not, must not be, a cold, impersonal machine, but a human and more human agency, appealing to the reason, satisfying the heart, full of mercy, assisting the good, resisting the wrong, delivering the weak from any impositions of the powerful. This is not paternalism. It is not a servitude imposed from without, but the freedom of a righteous self-direction from within. Industry must be humanized, not destroyed. It must be the instrument not of selfishness, but of service. Change not the law, but the attitude of the mind. Let our citizens look not to the false prophet, but to the pilgrim. Let them fix their eyes on Plymouth Rock as well as Beacon Hill. The supreme choice must be not the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. Our government belongs to the people. Our property belongs to the people. It is distributed. They own it. The taxes are paid by the people. They bear the burden. The benefits of government must accrue to the people, not to one class, but to all classes, to all the people. The functions, the power, the sovereignty of the government must be kept where they have been placed by the Constitution and laws of the people, not private will, but that public will, which speaks with a divine sanction, must prevail. There are strident voices urging resistance to law in the name of freedom. They are not seeking freedom for themselves. They have it. They are seeking to enslave others. Their works are evil. They know it. They must be resisted. The evil they represent must be overcome by the good others represent. Their ideas, which are wrong, for the most part imported, must be supplanted by ideas which are right. This can be done. The meaning of America is a power which cannot be overcome. Massachusetts must lead in seeking it. Prosecution of the criminal and education of the ignorant are the remedies. It is fundamental that freedom is not to be secured by disobedience to law. Even the freedom of the slave depended on the supremacy of the Constitution. There is no mystery about this. They who sin are the servants of sin. They who break the laws are the slaves of their own crime. It is not for the advantage of others that the citizen is abjured to obey the laws, but for his own advantage. That what he claims a right to do to others, that must he admit others have a right to do to him. His obedience is his own protection. He is not submitting himself to the dictates of others, but responding to the requirements of his own nature. Laws are not manufactured. They are not imposed. They are rules of action existing from everlasting to everlasting. He who resists them resists himself. He commits suicide. The nature of man requires sovereignty. Government must govern. To obey is life. To disobey is death. Organized government is the expression of the life of the Commonwealth. Into your hands is entrusted the grave responsibility of its protection and perpetuation.
Now, it's interesting that Massachusetts is, of course, a liberal state. Most of the Catholics in Congress come from places like Massachusetts. And, of course, it's a big union state. And, of course, we have unfortunately, some of their worst immigrants have come to California trying to impose an agenda. Now, also, the Pope in Rome, Pope Francis, who was trying to imitate St. Francis of Assisi, reportedly has suspended this wealthy German bishop, and Roman Catholics aren't the only ones who their clergy aren't the only ones who live high on the hog, have condos, drive expensive cars. I knew one priest, a Jesuit, who drove a BMW, and his excuse was it's an older BMW. Anyway, if you want to understand the wealth of the Catholic Church and money in the Catholic Church and bankers, read Jack Cashel's book. It's still around, called Popes and Bankers, and there's a lot of information in there, especially the fact that the Vatican funded John Gutenberg, who invented the printing press, which broke the monks' monopoly on printing, because those books had to be hand-inscribed or handwritten. So with the printing press, that changed everything, and it became the latest revolution in communication. So it's a very Jack Cashel I have referred to as the Stephen King of political writing. He writes about a lot of political tragedies, but they're necessary that these things be publicized so that we understand what's happening in our world. What you don't know can hurt, harm, and cost you. Incidentally, a senior citizen just had Isuzu Amigo stolen within a month's time, less than a month. He had one stolen 4 days after he purchased it, and he had a club on it, an expensive club, which cost about $30. And when he discussed this with his auto industry insurance adjuster, the adjuster said, even if you have a club on your steering wheel, they can cut the steering wheel. Well, the senior citizen didn't know that. So a club cannot necessarily insure against your vehicle being stolen. You have to take other measures as well. And, of course, an experienced thief will find a way to steal your vehicle, even if they have to tow it. But here in San Francisco, one policeman told me when I interviewed him that we are having an epidemic of car theft, and maybe there's a crime wave going on given the economy. We have a bread and circuses political economy going on here. We've lost our major manufacturing, paint factories, hardware, steel, and instead the concentration has been on building new condos, high-rises on former gas station sites. One site reportedly has nuclear waste buried on it from World War II. We'll get into that one. And three streams run under this affordable housing site. So, and also the fact that everything has been concentrated on the new techies. So if a terrorist, and I regret saying this, but we have to face this reality, an electromagnetic device could be exploded over the city and knock out all of our electrical power. I mean, this is a reality. We have to face this because there are bad people out there who want to destroy America, and some of them are within our government. Anyway, we will be back Friday, and hopefully we'll get this situation resolved, and we'll end with our usual politics and poker, and we will try to have some updated interviews. I've been ill, and I've just recovered from one operation. But, you know, as long as I got a voice in Alonix, I will be speaking, and we will end tonight with politics and poker.
Say, Ben, want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise. Me too.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big Ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
Democrats would love that.
We should make Jack Riley the guy.
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bet up.
Politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. Neither game's for children, neither game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, not to bet,
where to go, what to
do. All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paraphrase.
Bet 'em.
Little trades, good as gold.
Well, a lot of trades, and we've seen it this past week. So we'll see what happens with those who did the trading, or as some people refer to them as traitors to the Republican Party. We shall see what we shall see. We will be back Friday. Hopefully we'll get this computer situation straightened out. Stay safe. This is Peter Paul Brazola. And go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AMICUSVERITAS. Good night and stay safe.